Welcome to another episode of the Sages series. These episodes shine a spotlight on women over 60 who have so much wisdom to share. In a culture obsessed with anti-aging, these episodes are pro-aging. Not only a privilege denied to many, growing older is good. In fact, it seems to be a time and place where many women truly begin to thrive. With so many of society's gatekeepers left behind, women really begin to explore their lives and spread their wings when they're older. And I aim to listen. We'll never know how many women's stories have been lost forever. In these episodes, we're changing that. Welcome to Full Spirals, a podcast where we tell the stories of belonging to this big human family and honor the raw human connections the arts consistently facilitate. It's about how life can take you for a spin, but still leave you grounded. We learn about hope and healing through the arts and the many ways creativity can lead you right back to yourself. We're so happy to have you along for the ride. I'm Stacey Parrish. Really proud of today's episode because it's the culmination of over a decade's worth of work. It features the ladies who take part in a women's story circle that I founded and began facilitating at a local senior center last year. Watching this community grow and thrive, it's such a pleasure, and I'm reminded each week of what important work it is. The women who gather at the circle each week come from a wide variety of backgrounds, and every week they gather in community to share about their lives and offer stories to one another around a specific theme. It's such an honor to watch this group coalesce around the idea that their stories matter and that creating safe communities for sharing about our lives it's a fundamental need. Our first story comes from a woman named Kim. Newly retired, Kim comes to our circle as a way to connect and nurture her creativity. She's also someone I've been connected with for many years. She used to take a movement class that I taught back in the late aughts, and it's a class that she decided to take after closing down her own jazzercise dance classes after 14 years. Kim's face lights up whenever she talks about jazzercise, and here she tells us a story about some unexpected news from one of her regulars.
Of course, there's a lot of stories that I can tell through the 14 years. I mean, obviously, sure. I saw people come and go. I saw people have children, and that's the story is related to that, is I had a regular, and she was pregnant, and so no big deal. Mm-hmm. They know how to handle themselves. They know what to do. They don't have to hop around. They just do what they can and what
sure.
they want to do.
Okay.
And so we did our normal thing, and she was fine, and you know everybody was kind of huddling around, and she said to me after class, "I'm in labor,"
oh my God.
I went, "Oh." She went on to inform me that she came to class because she was in labor and wanted to bring it on a little bit faster.
Oh, my gosh.
So I thought to myself, gosh, you know, you really should have told me that before class.
But it did take, right?
It did. It did. She went into labor later on that night. And she brought the baby in, and it responded to my voice.
Oh.
Because it had heard my loud singing voice for, you know, the whole 9 months that it was.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite stories. I just love those jazzercise girls and women, and I do keep in touch with some of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them are still around. A lot of them were teachers and career women. Mm-hmm. They would say, "You're such an inspiration," and I thought, you know what? Back at ya.
Mm-hmm.
So I miss them, and it was a very, very happy and wonderful time of my life. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know, one woman's life can touch so many others, and so many of the careers commonly held by women are overlooked or undervalued. But the relationships that are built with these people, whether it's your jazzercise instructor or your hairstylist, they make profound impacts on our lives. Our next story is about another important relationship. Women's Story Circle member Jan describes one of the most important relationships in her life in this next piece. It's about the kind that begins by, quote-unquote, coincidence.
Well, before I read, can I just tell you about the origin of my story?
Tell me whatever you want to tell me.
Okay, all right. My story is about a neighbor that I had, an older woman, and her and I became really good friends. And this is the story of her and how we became friends. And, you know, I found over the years that I've had maybe a handful of women who were considerably older than I was. Mm-hmm. This woman in her 80s. And I love these women and feel very fortunate that I had come to meet them over my lifetime, mm-hmm. and they have influenced who I am as an older person myself.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I'll get started.
Okay.
The name of my story is My Dear Friend, Theola. It seems that angels appear in our lives when we most need them. I have an angel, and her name is Theola. Theola is an unusual name. It's Norwegian. It means gift from God. It is the perfect name for my friend. Theola passed away 6 years ago. When I had her in my life, she was in her 80s. She was a short woman, beautiful gray hair, and a smile on her face almost all the time. Not only did she smile a lot, she had a giggle in her voice. I can hear it today, and it makes me smile. Theola was always dressed in the same couple of outfits. Her favorite seemed to be a faded lilac-colored sweatshirt and matching sweatpants. The top had a printed flower and butterfly design. She spent most of her time at home, so it was probably her go-to comfortable outfit. It often had a little stain on it. It was unmistakably Theola to me. Theola had a cat for a long time. Her cat's name was Zippy. Theola was Zippy in her own way. They were great companions. They both had their favorite chairs. Theola was a widow. She was married later in life to a man who had grown children and grandchildren. That family adopted Theola, and she thought that was very special, and she loved them, especially her great-grandchildren. None of her family lived in Eau Claire, where we both lived at the time. She had good friends and her church friends, and she was my friend, too. I met her before we even moved into our new house. On the day the realtor showed us the house, she was right there checking us out and telling us about her friend who had lived there until she passed away. My husband Dennis and I were moving to this new small ranch home because he was quite sick with lung disease and we needed to downsize to accommodate his needs. We were moved in for only a few days when my relationship with Theola was cemented. We were out working in the yard when there was commotion next door. Theola passed out and fell in her yard. Someone was mowing her lawn and came to her aid. We went over to see if she needed help, and she did. The result was that I gave Theola a ride to the hospital just down the street to get checked over. Theola and I spent the next 5 hours in the ER with her lying in bed. She offered story after story and asked me many questions. In that time, she and I became fast friends. As the time went on, I realized that this was a woman with a tender heart, and she had a heart that was open for anyone who came into her life, including me. Dennis passed away from his disease within a year. I had to return to work as a teacher in the fall, ready or not. I was not. Theola would invite me over for a cup of weak, reheated coffee and a homemade crumb kaka or lefse with sugar and cinnamon. Many hours I sat at her round table with the vinyl tablecloth with its Christmas design, well crinkled and often with a smudge of butter here and there. There was also paper, newspaper and stacks of mail and coupons. And there was always a deck of cards, used for many years, and just a little bit sticky. Theola was always there, and that was enough. She had traveled the road I was now on, and she understood. There's nothing that takes away the pain. Sometimes grief just needs a companion. Soon the snow was flying, and I'd offered to help Theola with her shoveling if I could. One time I worked all day, and by the time I got home, the snow was heavy and deep. I started shoveling at my sidewalk and finished at hers. She called from the doorway for me to come in when I was done. I entered the door and it was warm and cozy. She told me I should stay and have pizza with her, so I did. Theola bought her pizza at the Dollar General down the street. It was a frozen pizza, doctored with a can of mushrooms and a little extra cheese. There was a glass of Pepsi to chase it down. It was the perfect dinner. I managed to rally for a game of cribbage, our favorite game. Whenever Theola was dealt a zero-point crib, she would declare, "Oh boy, I got what Patty shot at." I use that saying to this day, and it brings back memories of how blessed I was to have Theola in my life. She was truly my angel.
Mm.
Yeah, she was really quite a woman. You know, you find these people without looking, and they just come into your life. It's great.
Mm. Great time. What a great way to put that. You find people without looking.
Mm. Yeah. Well, maybe she found me.
Yeah.
I'd like to think it was a mutual,
yeah,
you know, friendship, and I could help her when she needed help.
Yeah. I love the way that you got together by bonding in the ER.
Yeah, that was really unusual. I mean, for one thing, looking back, should I have taken her in my car to the ER? You know,
yeah,
it might have been a risk. And then I got her down there, and I was glad I did, because mm-hmm. then I got to know her so well. So,
yeah. Well, what a gift.
Yeah, she was a gift to me.
Sometimes grief just needs a companion. And sometimes even the most seemingly random introductions turn out to be our greatest gifts. Really, oftentimes we can't know what someone will come to mean to us when we first meet them, and meeting Theola changed Jan's life for good. So keep an open mind and keep an eye out for those angels in your life. Our last story comes from Barbara, a longtime poet. Her piece was originally started quite a while ago, but she was inspired to revisit it by the war in Palestine.
How long have you been writing poetry?
Since sixth grade.
Oh,
it's been a long time. So this one's called Reporting for Duty. We do war well. We've mastered violence. Instruments of war are sophisticated, disciplined, priority funded to wage chaos, kill mass humans, and serve one supreme commander, death. Instead of tanks, rocket launchers, hand grenades, automatic rifles, what if we deployed artillery to wage compassion? Instead of epochs spent to conquer, colonize, enslave, subjugate, exploit, annex, erase, convert, occupy, colonize, or dominate to exhaustion, we found other pastimes for amusement like appreciate, alleviate, mitigate, accentuate, adulterate, the power of concert and collaboration, drafting legions of insurgent benefactors. We recruit youth to fight, harden them for soldierhood, teach them discipline, to march in lockstep, their cadence antiquated, a parade to war that's pathetically obsolete. What if we trained battalions to serve with compassion so fierce there's collateral damage, heavy casualties, and conflagration that takes no prisoners? What infantry might patrol for empathy in the darkness of night? What arsenal would advance the mission and inflict the maximum compassion? What could replace the crisp salute, snap to attention, that pays respect to a fellow warrior also engaged in love? What salutation speaks compassion? Would it look something like Wakanda forever? What uniform would the Compassion Army wear? What color camo says, I come in peace? What instrument to signal reveille, charge, report for duty, to spread solidarity where hatred advances now? How to ascend through the chain of command to wield guerrilla compassion for widespread impact and far-flung casualties? What headquarters would train recruits, deploy troops? Where is CENTCOM? What commander gives the order to dispatch the ranks, surround the perimeter, and hand-to-hand combat? Would thoughts and prayers be enough to address a wrong, pacify in disaster, or deployed for tragedy, quench a different thirst used to blood? Would the human tongue, sharpened by the knife of time, trained by habit, weaponized for war, already on its hind legs, lash out in anger or hold the ground in forward position? War doesn't work. We can't afford war, and it's now puny distraction. The stakes are far greater than we can comfortably contain or even speak into words. We have a planet to save. The homestead now is Earth. What if, instead of the impulse to otherize, our default position was solidarity? A kinship with humans made other only by habit that defers now to brotherhood instead of the adrenaline that, yes, alleviates boredom. To evacuate old trenches in pursuit of other amusements. Did this journey feel awkward? Is it because we're intimate with the language of conflict, but the vernacular of compassion, not so much? Where are the open-handed ones, the open-hearted ones? Where are the helpers Mr. Rogers said to look for? Are we the ones we've been waiting for, a different kind of strike force? Could it be true we're here now for a reason because we were made for these times? Will my outstretched hand fit in yours? And won't you be my neighbor?
Thank you so much, Barbara. There's so much to unpack there. The part about guerrilla compassion, I love that. And the other thing that struck me, lots of things struck me, but the other thing that struck me was we can't afford war. When did you write this?
I started a while ago, and sometimes I do that where I will start it and then I'll put it away for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But it was the war that inspired me to get it out again. Mm. It's like, how are we going to save this planet? We can't even get along with each other.
Mm. Yeah.
Where do we go from here? It's just another distraction when we have work to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Mm.
Human conflicts are just a distraction when we've got so much work left to do. Yes. And connecting with folks through story is the best way to see that our similarities far outweigh the differences. It's a great place to start. This episode was produced by Boom Arts in Appleton, Wisconsin, through a generous grant from the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley Region. Theme music by Helen Avakian. Additional music provided by Beth Kelly. If you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, and most importantly, share Full Spirals. Bring your friends and fam along for the ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your favorite listening platform. Because we really are all in this together. Till next time, take care.